Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
It's exciting to be here this evening sharing God's word with you, and I had the opportunity to share this morning as well. And as I put on this cool lapel mic, I kind of felt like Elvis or Britney Spears or one of those characters wanting to start singing here, but I wasn't blessed with the vocals to do what they are doing. Okay, so to kick off into the message, the title of my message this evening is just Jesus, aka GP, our foundation for a successful 2016. Now, GP not as in the doctor GP, but as in grace personified, because that is what Jesus was, what Jesus is. Jesus is grace personified, and that is our foundation for this year, to have a successful and a prosperous 2016. And like Shane said, there weren't any hands raised previously, but who wants to have a successful 2016? Just by raise of hand. Okay, all of you, great stuff. And all of us like want to have a prosperous 2016 and really enjoy this year, want this year to be greater than the year before. Because as God's word says, He takes us from glory to glory. He doesn't take us from glory to mediocre or from glory to standard or average. So 2016, if you allow God, then it's going to be an exceptional year. It's really going to be tremendous. And as we dig into God's word, we're going to see how we're going to reach that. Now, if we look at reaching a place or reaching a destination, for example, traveling from Cape Town to Johannesburg, and we know we're going to Johannesburg, we're going to get onto the N1 and we're going to travel all the way and we're going to reach Johannesburg. Not that any of us would like to go there this evening, but just stay with me. So now, take for example, if you didn't know your destination is Johannesburg and you just climb onto the N7 and you travel for all day and you look back, you haven't gotten anywhere closer to your destination if you didn't know you wanted to go to Johannesburg. And that is why tonight we're going to look at what does success mean? What does prosperity mean in order to reach that destination? And from God's word, we're going to look at that. But before we do that, I want to look at the definition of success according to the dictionary. It says that success is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. The accomplishment of an aim or purpose. Now, a synonym of the word success is also prosperity. Now, prosperity means, according to the dictionary, successful in material terms, flourishing financially, or doing well. Okay, so that's success and prosperity. Now, I want to bring out three quotes from two people in history. The one is for the ladies, that's Estee Lauder. She said the following, I never dreamed about success. I worked for it. Vince Lombardi said two things. The first, the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary, because success is an S. And also said, perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. Now, all three of these quotes sound pretty good. It sounds like stuff to strive for, stuff to really get you going for your new year, to give you that extra oomph, to really just want to reach those goals that you set for yourself. But if we look at closer to God's word, success and prosperity is so much more than just reaching a goal that you set for yourself. It's so much more than just reaching that new high, that new, like, hitting the roof. Like, it's so much more than that. And as we dig into the word, I want to ask you to just open your heart, sit back, relax, and receive what we're gonna be going through. Let's open our Bibles in John chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 32. It's an awesome way to start the year to look at, because in starting a journey, you want to kind of start on the right road. Otherwise, the road is going to get long and hard and tough. And Jesus made it so easy for us. John 8:32 says that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's knowing the truth that sets us free. And God's truth is in His Word. So whenever we want an answer for life, whenever we want to look at something like a topic of success and prosperity. Let's not look at just what the world says about success and prosperity, but let's go deeper and look to the true creator of success and prosperity and see what he says about it. And that's why we're going to dig. Truth is going to set, because that truth is going to set us free and set us up for a great 2016. Romans 12 verse 2 says that, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." So just because something sounds good, something seems good, something looks good, it doesn't mean that it is good. The thing is, Satan, our enemy, is in this world, and his greatest power is to deceive. Okay? His greatest power is deception. He's got no other power over you but that deception. So even though something looks good, like, don't just grab all of it. Go and look in God's Word. If it's contradicting God's Word, then it's a lie. It's so easy, like, knowing God's Word, not being conformed to this world, but renewing your mind to the truths that are in God's Word. It's like, it's there for us every day. Like, God is there every day, and we can ask Him, we can consult Him about things, be in fellowship with Him, and see what He says about life and making our lives successful. John 3, verse 16 and 17 says the following, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now, this is awesome. That is the foundation of the message of the gospel. God sending His only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world so we can have eternal life. And not just eternal life in heaven one day, but starting here today, being in a relationship, in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, that this is life eternal, that they might know the only one true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. And that knowing is talking about an intimate knowing. It's not just knowing someone's name, knowing someone's birth date, but actually knowing them, knowing their personality, knowing their desires for your life, their intentions for your life. So that is what eternal life is about. And the word saved there in verse 17, in the Greek, it's the word sozo. And the word sozo is actually so much more than just salvation, eternal life. But that is four words which says healing is in our salvation. Deliverance is in our salvation. Prosperity, which we're talking about tonight, prosperity, success, is in our salvation, and wholeness, being made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is this awesome package, this awesome gift that Jesus came to give us, that God came to give us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all we need to do is just receive that. But I'm not going to jump the gun now. I must stay on track here. I get so excited. I hope you guys are excited with me. Okay, so a question here. Any fathers here this evening? I see at least one father, two, three. Okay, good. Any fathers there at the back? Okay, so there's some fathers here this evening, mothers. Yes, there's a mother as well. And then for those of you who are sitting, looking at me, not fathers or mothers yet, so all of you are children, having been fathered by a parent or whatever. Now, the statement I want to make, just based on all of you sitting here this evening, is that every father here this evening, or every mother here, has a desire for their children to succeed in life. Okay, that is, like, I'm pretty sure I'm 100% correct by making that statement. Every parent wants their child to succeed and be prosperous in life. And if you're a child, you would probably have gotten that from your parents, seeing that they really want to drive you to success. They really want to lift you up, build you up, so you can prosper in life. And now, if you are so convinced as a father or as a child that that is what your parents want for you, or if that is what your children want for you, like, how much more doesn't our Father in heaven want those good gifts for us? The fridge magnet scripture, as Shane says, another one is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, saying that God knows the thoughts that He has for us, thoughts of prosperity, a good hope, good future, an expectant end. In Matthew 7, Jesus draws us this perfect picture of a father-son relationship, where it's talking about from verse 7 to 11, it's talking about Jesus saying that sons here on earth, if a son asks his dad for a piece of bread, what father among you is going to give that son a stone? Then He says, then what if your son asks you of a piece of fish? What father here is going to give him a serpent or a snake? And Jesus draws a comparison. You then being evil on earth in comparison to God, Father's you on earth, in comparison to God, His perfection, His infinite love, compared to Him, you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more doesn't your Father in heaven want those same good gifts for you? How much more success, prosperity? How much more doesn't your Father in heaven want you to succeed and prosper in life? Our Father in heaven is so great, and we need to grasp all of this message and this, and soak and meditate into this truth, because unless you don't take it for yourself, take all of this truth, it's not going to have any effect in your life. It's like taking a seed. A seed in my hand has got all the potential to bear fruit. But unless that seed is planted into the ground, it's not going to produce any fruit. And that's what we need to do with God's message, is really take it to heart, plant it into our hearts, meditate on it, and allow it to bear the fruit that it should. Now I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation from Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 6. So this is the life of Joseph, and if you didn't know, so Joseph grew up with a bunch of brothers, and he was really highly favored by his dad, more so than the rest of his brothers. And his brothers could clearly see that. They developed the jealousy towards Joseph, and they came to a point where it got so much that they decided they want to murder Joseph. They ended up not murdering him, but selling him into slavery. And he was 17 years old when this happened. And then we go into what follows after that. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now the very important part, verse 2. I've got to highlight this part, underline it and encircle it. It says that the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Another translation says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Now that is awesome. If we're looking just at the definitions that we looked at early on success and prosperity, this looks a bit like different, like upside down. Joseph, let me remind you, Joseph was just sold as a slave. His colorful tunic was ripped off of him and by his brother, so he was probably half naked when he was sold. He didn't have clothes on his back. He didn't have any material things, any financial backing, but still God said that the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. Now that scripture doesn't say because of Joseph's life experience he was successful in everything he did, or because of Joseph, fill in the blank. It was none of those things. It was because the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. Verse 3, it carries on saying that Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. Now also, note here that Potiphar wasn't a believer, so for him to see that there's something different about this character, his prosperity, his success is just insane, like it should tell you something. It wasn't something natural. It was something supernatural that Joseph had behind him. And it wasn't skills and abilities. Verse 5, it carries on saying that, for the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. And his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. That sounds pretty good, eh? Like Joseph being so blessed and prosperous that Potiphar chose to give him charge of everything he owned. He decided to sit back on the couch, kick up his feet, and just look at the menu, decide, okay, this I want for breakfast, this I want for lunch, this I want for dinner. That is all that he worried about because of Joseph's blessing and what he had. Now, as I said, this is a complete different picture than we looked at early on by definition to success and prosperity. Now, setting goals, being excited about setting goals for this year and wanting to achieve great things, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong with putting the cart in front of the horse. Like, prosperity and success comes from God being with us. Now, I've completely jumped my gun, but I'm sure you guys would have picked up by now we're heading somewhere. Okay, but stay with me. We're going to get dig a bit deeper into this matter. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. As you guys are turning there. As I said, prosperity and success go so much deeper than just reaching a goal or attaining something great. Joseph being a prosperous man by God being with him, he had peace, he had joy unshakable with him. Even standing with nothing on his back, knowing that God is with him, that was his joy and his peace and his hope. None of those things can be taken away from you by any man. Everything else, according to the definition of success and prosperity by the dictionary, any one of those things can be taken away from you. Wealth, material things, any one of those things can be lost in an instant, in the blink of an eye. That isn't where our success and prosperity lies. Now, Psalm verse 1, 2 to 3 says that, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, it shall prosper." Another scripture from Joshua 1, verse 8, says that, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." So you have two scriptures talking about success and prosperity. And according to these scriptures, it's talking about meditating on the law, focusing on that, making that your priority day in and day out. Now, all of us, hopefully you know, we're not under the covenant of Moses and his law anymore. We're under a covenant of grace and better promises. And why do I say that? Because that is what God's word says. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says that, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." John 1:17 says that, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So we are under a new covenant of Jesus' unconditional love and grace, unmerited favor. That is our inheritance. That is our covenant. And according to Psalm 1, verse 2 to 3, and Joshua 1, verse 8, our meditation is no longer on the law, but our meditation on our focus and on God's grace, Jesus' unmerited favor on our lives. By focusing on that, meditating on that, day in, day out, success will follow our lives, prosperity will follow our lives. That is not something I'm saying, that is something God's word is saying that is alive and true. But you guys don't look as excited as I am. I would love some smiles or some amens or some hallelujah, anything in that sense. Now, this is good news. This is good news because it's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And that is the message that Jesus called us to share with this world. No other message but the gospel message that Jesus came to give us abundant life, this life to reign. A life to reign, a life to have success and prosperity. That is what Jesus came to give us by his grace. And like I said earlier on, this is a complete free gift. Ephesians chapter 2. You can turn there with me quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 8 and verse 9. It says that, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And that it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace is a complete free gift that Jesus Christ came to give us. And all we need to do is reach out and receive it. God's grace, meditating on God's grace, receiving this gift of salvation, the sozo kind of life, healing, deliverance, prosperity, wholeness, that success that this is talking about in God's salvation, in his message. We can just receive that freely as a gift. All of us who enjoyed Christmas, everyone had a good Christmas? Merry Christmas. So when Christmas came, all of us had, some of us probably had some gifts. Can't remember if I got my wife a gift. I gave her the gift of love. I loved my wife on Christmas. No, I think I can't remember now. So a gift is something that is freely given. Okay, so when your parents gave you a gift, I'm looking at the young students now at the front. None of your parents asked you now, okay, so now for a week, come and work for me so that you can pay this back or earn this gift. That is not what a gift is. That is not what Jesus came to give us. Jesus came to give us a gift, something that we don't have to work for, try and earn, trying to deserve now. It was freely given so we can just receive it and enjoy it. Now, I want to share a story about two sisters. And the story goes like this. One evening, Jesus was also involved in the story, obviously. So Jesus was entering a certain village, and he entered a household of one of the sisters, and the other sister was there with him. And the two sisters basically did two complete opposite things in the presence of Jesus and some of the disciples. The first sister started running around, serving, getting food ready, getting the coffee brewing. Coffee is good. I can imagine that, the smell and the aroma. So the one sister is really running around. She's got obviously some goals to be a good host. She wants to make sure everyone is happy. Maybe she's got some hidden agenda behind getting some brownie points of Jesus. I don't know. But anyway, so the story carries on. She gets to a place where she gets tired and burned out. And I'm sure some of us have been at that place of just like being weary, just being really tired. Because if we don't do something out of an overflow of the source, it's going to dry up. The water's going to get finished. Like, you need to do it out of an overflow. There's nothing wrong with serving. There's nothing wrong with what that first sister did. But what was a desire? What was a motive behind doing that? So in the other sister, she did the complete opposite. She decided, I'm going to go sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to go listen to what does he have to say. He's obviously the savior of the universe, so he would surely have something good to say. So I'm going to go sit at his feet. And that's what she did. She went to go sit at his feet, receive from him, just listen to his love and receive that. So sister number one, she got tired. She came to Jesus and she, obviously Jesus didn't notice that the other sister just sitting there. He did notice it. So this sister thinks, I'm going to tell Jesus to maybe ask my sister to come and help me because this is really getting tough. I've got all of these people to please. And she's telling Jesus, as I said, why don't you ask my sister to come and help me? And Jesus tells her, Martha, Martha, you are distracted and worried about so many things. About running around, trying to please everyone. You are distracted, worried about so many things. But one thing is needful. And your sister Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful, not trying to reach all of these goals, trying to do X, Y, and Z, but one thing is needful for your life of success in 2016, to rest and sit at the feet of Jesus, to relax, to just soak in his love. One thing is needful, nothing else. All of the rest is going to flow from that. All of the prosperity, all of the material things, all of your finances will flow from that. It will be a natural byproduct from the source, Jesus being with you. Jesus with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, even as a slave. All of the rest followed from the place of Jesus being with him. Now, like I said, God knows, Jesus knows that we need finances. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need material things. That's not what this message is about. It's not saying that those things aren't important. Matthew chapter 6 talks about this whole situation. Verse 33, Jesus says that, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. By seeking first God's face, seeking first his love, sitting at his feet, everything else will be added unto you by starting with that, by carrying on in that in that place of love with God, meditating on His grace, focusing on His grace. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. In closing, Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 28 to 30. Jesus talking here because the font is in red. If you have a proper Bible, I'm joking. If it's not in red, then it's just some Bibles got Jesus' words in red. Verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is awesome. Jesus saying, come unto me. Come and find rest with me. Now, yoke, you get this picture of two oxes, and there's a yoke on their shoulders pulling a plow. And Jesus, and you can actually set the plow for the one ox to bear more weight than the other ox. And this is the picture of what Jesus is talking about to me. Jesus wants to take all of our burdens, He wants to take all of the work on Him. All we need to do is come alongside Him. Just come and find our rest in Him. And He will pull the plow. He will make this year successful. He will let prosperity follow you wherever you go. Just come alongside Him. Come and find your rest in Him. In John 15, Jesus also talks about Him being the vineyard and us being the branches. By us abiding in Him, by us resting in Him, we will bear the same fruit as Him. Because we are in Him and He is in us. Last scripture in, it's going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10. This is Paul writing, and all of you probably know that Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a pretty successful man in worldly terms. He did a lot of things, like he had a pretty cool resume. So let's look at what Paul said. Where did all of this success come from? Verse 10. But it is because of all of my hard work and labor. It was because of all of my wisdom that I am what I was. Why are you laughing? I'm glad. Okay, the guys are laughing, obviously, because I'm reading gibberish, yeah? That's not what the scripture says. Paul didn't say it was because of his hard work, because of his talents, because of his abilities. Verse 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul uses the word grace here 3 times in one scripture, referring to because of God's grace, His unmerited, undeserved favor that was with me, I labored more abundantly than everyone. Not because of me, but by His grace in me, by meditating in His grace, by being in communion with the Father that wants us to succeed. Success follows, prosperity follows. Now, I want to share a story. This is the last story. So last year, or two cool testimonies in my wife and my life. The first one was when we decided we wanted to get married. It was one of the, you'd say, goals that we set for that specific year. But in setting that goal, we set the goal. It was a God-desired goal that God implanted into our hearts. And when we set that goal, it wasn't like throughout that year we really strive to make this happen, to want to, in our effort, make this happen. We were just focusing on Jesus, focusing on our lives, just enjoying relationship with Him. And at the end of the, come halfway through that year, we won a wedding competition, and God provided for us a wedding in an instant. It wasn't striving for anything, working for anything, but just by being in fellowship with Him, focusing and meditating on His grace. And then we got married. We didn't take our honeymoon in after we got married. So we decided in last year, it was another goal that we said. We were like, God, surely you want us to enjoy an epic honeymoon. So why not make it an island honeymoon? And So that is another goal we set. Again, we just set the goal in the beginning of the year, went about our everyday life, just focusing on His love and His goodness, just receiving from Him. Again, same thing, halfway through the year, God says, boom, here's your honeymoon. So we got to go, we won another competition. So we got to go to an epic island, one of the most luxury islands in Mozambique. And it was absolutely amazing. Words can't describe. If you want to go see photos, go onto Facebook and check out our photos. It was really such an awesome blessing to see. And looking back and just seeing that this principle, this desire that God has for us to just sit in His presence, enjoy life with Him, like just focus on Him, and everything else in life is going to fall into place. Your life is going to be more successful, more prosperous than you could have ever imagined trying to attain on your own effort by just resting and focusing on Jesus' unconditional love and His unmerited favor for you. Thank you, Father, just for this message of your grace and the free gift that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that as children, we can just focus on you and just enjoy relationship with you. Come into that place of rest alongside you, Dad. Thank you as we just do that, Dad, we can be so expectant for this year to be supernaturally, abundantly favored and successful. This will be our best year yet. As we just rest in you, focus on you. Thank you, Dad. And as the eyes are closed, I would just want to give you the opportunity. This is obviously something that you need to receive. If you want to enjoy this life of success and prosperity and be in this relationship with a loving Father, this is something you need to receive. And if you've never made this decision in your life yet, I'd just like to give you the opportunity just by raise of hand. We'll have one of the leaders come and pray with you after the service. So if there's anyone, it's really the best decision you can ever make in your life. Awesome. We're all in a good place of relationship with Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Etienne. Awesome. That was awesome. I just want to say one or two things. But just one thing, for example. Many Christians are trying to be successful by living in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and there's wisdom in it. But we're prospered because of Jesus. We're prospered by grace. We're not prospered because you're applying good principles in your life. You can experience some level of prosperity according to that, but this message, this message of the gospel of grace should transform our lives, and the Bible says we should be experiencing a greater glory. Book of Proverbs is in the Old Covenant. Okay, Corinthians talks about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and it says the Old Covenant had a glory, but the New Covenant, there's a greater glory, and it's a glory which lasts. And so as we tap into this greater glory, this message of grace, it should empower us to be more successful than anyone's ever been. And we're not just talking about money. Everything. I mean, you can have lots of money and have a sour face, and then you're not successful, right? You can have no money and have a smile on your face, and that's even more successful than the person with all the money in the world. Yeah, so just one scripture which Etienne mentioned, I want to tap on and leave with you in closing. Matthew 6:33, one that you should know, says, "But seek first the kingdom of God." Now, just before that, it says in verse 32, "For after all these things, all your needs, the Gentiles," some translations say the heathen, "seek." So all these things, all these needs, this is what the Gentiles seek. This is what the unbeliever seeks after, is having their needs met. Okay? Then it says, "For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things." Now you're sitting here and you probably have maybe got a need now, or during the course of the year you will have a need, or you're forecasting and saying, "I have needs during this year." Okay? Now, we're tempted in the flesh to try and fulfill those needs. We're tempted to apply good principles and try and be hard. You know, the world says, like the definitions which Etienne gave, the world will say, work hard, work long hours to be able to be successful. You know, if you're not working, some profile on Instagram that I follow, had this thing of, it's 5 a.m. when successful people are either going to sleep or waking up. I think that's dumb. Okay, I wake up at 4, but that's because my son wakes me up. Okay, and if you're waking up to spend time with the Lord at that time, or you're going to bed because you're spending time with the Lord, awesome. But if you're going to bed at that time because you're punching numbers into a computer, or because you're planning, or you're waking up at that time because you need to do bills or something, you've missed it. The whole of last year, I made a decision from the beginning of the year. Once I get home, I'm home. And there was maybe two occasions where I just had to quickly do something for the service on a Saturday night or whatever. But there's not more than two occasions the whole year. I made a decision when I'm home, I'm spending time with my wife and my kids, and I'm helping. Even if there was things to get done, I left them purposefully. And you know what happened? The world still kept going. Nothing fell flat on its face. Everything kept going, and the year was a success for us. Okay, so then it goes on and it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, through applying good principles and working hard, you can achieve a lot. There's lots of stories about that. Okay, but you get that as a reward. You don't get that as a grace, a free gift. You want these things added unto you, then put priority first, seek God's kingdom first, his righteousness. We'll talk about what that is another time. But as you put God first, as you're seeking his ways first, then all these things are added unto you, not at any expense. It's added unto you. The world's expense of achieving success is your health and your family and your relationships. God's way of achieving success is not at the expense of any health, any relationships, anything like that. You shouldn't be sweating about stuff, except the heat. And for that, there's aircon, which we should get here. So anyway, so I want to encourage you and leave you with that. And over the next couple of weeks, months, we're going to be focusing in on this and on how grace empowers us to live the abundant life in Christ. And that's what God's got for us. And so it's time for us to get our heads around this and walk in it so that we can experience this greater glory. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.